microphone for, or just separate microphone?
I don't know what this is for.
Ah, oh, that's just only necessary to touch it.
So it's not. Okay. Essentially, just going to, it's up to you whenever you want to.
We'll start. Bernie told me that it wasn't so good what the title was. I can do. I think the title we talked about, we were. This year on Yom HaSmuch, we'd be saying Hallel or Tehillim.
Right. Okay.
That was the title. Okay, so we'll start from that. Usually the title has nothing to do with the shir. The title says something. what would the people maybe to come? And the idea isn't, you know, is this so bad because of what happened in Gush Katif, and we shouldn't say Hallel. I know that's a whole big topic, et cetera, it's all in the news. But I want to talk about a parak in Tehillim, which is a minhag in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's a minhag here also. That we say at the beginning of Yom HaSmuch, and why that, on one hand, an appropriate Tehillim and Hallel at the same time. It will also be a nice excuse to learn a little bit about study Tehillim as well. But before I begin, I want to use as a springboard for our topic today, which I'm going to return to at the end, something about Tzaraas. Everyone knows, when you want in Bar Torah, that's really the story, you've got to talk about Tzaraas. There's not too much else to do. And everyone's always looking, what did the poor guy do wrong? Correct? There's one drash about Tzaraas in the house, that way we get the money that people were hiding, you know. But in general, Tzaraas seems to be, it's almost down the line, everyone says, that's maybe Tzaraas by half, but Tzaraas by people, it seems they did something wrong. On the other hand, Chumash never mentions anywhere that Tzaraas is caused by someone doing something wrong. Correct? It sort of sounds like it by Miriam. Now, it's no doubt Miriam did something wrong, and she got Tzaraas. But the corollary doesn't mean that anyone who gets Tzaraas means they did something wrong. You follow? Now, what we do find about Tzaraas is we have to sort of kick them out of the camp. We went on to see them, we put them in seclusion, etc. And then at the end, they have to bring the korban when it's all over. So the impression is, just because this guy has a skin disease, we treat him like, you know, we want to kick him out of shul. We want to kick him out of the way. I want to flip things around and try to give a totally different approach to Tzaraas. It has to do with how to understand Tumah in Sefer Vayikra. Not only do we find Tzaraas, there's several types of Tumah with called Tumat Shiva, where someone's tamei for 7 days. Now, bottom line, when someone's tamei, what difference does it make? There's no isur, there's no prohibition against becoming tamei. If you become tamei, you're tamei. Except by a kohen, you know, but too much then. But if someone is tamei, what can't he do? They simply can't go to the Beit HaMikdash. Correct? Someone's tamei can't go. In essence, it's a law that relates to the Beit HaMikdash. Someone who's tamei can go to the Beit HaMikdash. But all the laws are followed during this either 1 day tumah, touching like a dead animal in the villah, or a 7 day tumah, like Tzaraas, by Yoledet, or excuse me, Yoledet even more later on, the 40 or 80 days, or by Tumat Met, in Parshat Chukah, by Parah Adumah. There's, after it's over, then you can go to the Beit HaMikdash, and sometimes it's followed by a Korban. What Korban is common both to the Tzaraas and to the Yoledet? You know what they bring? You said chatat. I knew you'd say chatat. Why? Why did they bring a chatat? Because obviously they did something wrong. So by Tzaraas, it seems like they did something wrong. How about a yoledet? Everyone knows the problem? And again, we go searching, what did the poor yoledet do wrong? Baruch Hashem, she gives birth to a child, goes wrong, and now again, she did something wrong? So there's again all these ideas that maybe she made an oath or this or that. There's a difference in Sefer Vayikra between someone who brings a chatat by itself, and that's clear, doing something wrong, and Parsha Vayikra, in Parashat Talmud, as opposed to this duo called a chatat and olah. Are you familiar with this duo? Where's the first time we find this duo korban of a chatat and olah coming together? You know the first time we find it? Where's the first time we find a chatat? Remember? What do we call that topic? The 7 days of Miluim. There was an inaugural ceremony to begin working the Beit HaMikdash, called the 7 days of Miluim. And during that inaugural ceremony, it was necessary for Aaron and his son to bring every day a chatat and olah. In other words, Ela Miluim, which is like a prototype for the Shlamim. Later becomes the Shlamim. Why does Aaron have to bring that? Again, the commentators disagree. If he's bringing a Chatat, he must have done something wrong. What did he do wrong? What does Rashi say on this spot? You can guess what he did wrong. What did Aaron do wrong by Parshat Tetzaveh?
What?
That didn't happen until Balucha. Chateiga. What's the problem with Chateiga? We're in Tetzaveh, like you said, and Chateiga doesn't happen, so Kitisa. Rashi the Shitato. It's out of order, etc. But if I follow Ramban, in simple order of Chumash, and remember, Chumash brings down that Korban before it ever happened, it doesn't seem like Aaron did anything wrong. On the other hand, it seems like the Chatat of Allah is necessary for Aaron to become, from a regular human being, from a regular Jew, to become someone working in the Beit HaMikdash, to go upgrade from Aaron ben Amram to Aaron HaKohen. You follow? We need to do what Rambam calls Korbanei Machshirim. You ever heard the word Machshirim? There's different types of Korbanot, but this duo of a Chatat and Olah is called a Korban Machshirim. It gets someone ready to come closer to God. Someone who's, it's like an upgrade. Where do we find a very similar Korban Machshirim, very similar to those 7 days in Miluim later on? On Yom Kippur. Again, Aaron, what's the Kohen have to do? He brings that Chatat, part of the Chatat, Ayol Olah. And the people of Israel bring a parallel Chatat. Again, most likely they did something wrong, but it's not one specific thing. It's in order to be able to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. You want to come closer to God? You want to upgrade a level? You go in. Now, all these people who are Tamei, hence they can't go to the Beit HaMikdash, they're in a state of mind, or a state of life, where you just can't go to the Beit HaMikdash. What I want to suggest is, Sarat, Yoledet, Tumat Met, etc. Tumat, you're in a state of mind, a state of feeling, that it's simply not healthy to go visit God. Not remember how Rabbi Yehuda Levi in Sefer Kusari compared our relationship with God like to a marriage, and Nevi'im did also. But just like he used it as an analogy to a marriage, there's sometimes that separation is good. Sometimes you're just not in the mood to be together. It's a dynamic relationship. And sometimes that relationship with God, you're just not in the mood to come. You can't be close. The goal isn't to be away. The goal is to be close at a proper time. And therefore, there's a need for separation before coming back. And at the end of that process, then I have to bring this Korban Machshirim to get back in. Now, I read it, I think it's easiest to understand. From what my wife tells me, or what's called after having a baby. There's what's called postpartum depression. I won't get into psychology, but it's a very traumatic, traumatic is probably the wrong word. It's a feeling where you understand why it's not exactly the right time to go visit God. That doesn't mean we want to visit to God. Let's call it a cooling off time period or something like that to get through. I don't want to get into it. I think that explains why the 40 and the 80, you know the difficulty, why? Right? So if you, depends how you look at the half cup four, half cup down. But if a person sort of, I won't say depressed, but so just not in the mood or not ready to go and visit God, it could be that having a boy, really, it should be 80 days. It takes time to get over the whole birth experience. But for a boy, because it's a boy, so you feel, I found that back then when people thought having a boy was better than having a girl. I don't think that existed. In Shari Tzedek, all my children were born in Shari Tzedek, in the waiting room, where the you know, there's a whole special like stock and all these things explaining it's not so bad if it's a girl, like please don't commit suicide kind of thing. With all these stocks from rabbis, no, don't it's today still. Again, it could be human nature, I don't want to get into the whole part there. But it could be that either having a son for your less or having a girl you're more. I don't want to get into that and half cup full, half cup empty. But I think that might explain why you need more time. For Yoledet Zachar to Kibar, it could be technically because of a Brit after 7 days they cut it shorter. There's all these different reasons. But you have. That was by accident. I didn't even notice I said that. See, that was a 40 slip again. But the No. The same thing too about that. Someone is in a room with a dead body, someone in contact with a dead body. Sometimes you just don't go to the Beit HaMikdash the next day. It's an experience you have to get over. Now, with that in mind, look, I want to use Shiva to explain Sarat, the same analogy. I don't think the Torah is telling you, just because the guy has leprosy, kick him out of the camp. I think someone who has Sarat, leprosy, even if there wasn't a law that we had to kick him out of the camp, he'd be out of the camp anyhow. That's human nature to this day. Someone with a skin disease, looking weird, etc., he cuts himself from society. The goal of Sarat is not to kick him out. I think the goal of Sarat is to bring him back in, to mainstream him. You follow? And therefore, what do I do? Just like I use Dine Avilut as an example. We're not someone who loses a relative, has a sit shiva. When we're not punishing him, that would happen anyhow. In a normal race, when you lose a close relative, you cut yourself off. So, what do we do? But the main goal is to bring them back into society, not to let them be depressed the rest of their life. How do we do that? You need a cooling off center. You need the 7 days, and then you need the 30 days, and then the year, etc. But the goal isn't to kick them out. The goal is to slowly bring them back. But you have to recognize it takes time to heal. Emotional things take time to heal. And I think Sarat, I think the main goal is to bring someone back. Now, here's why my point is for him. The person who gets the Sarat, what should he ask himself? The person himself who has this disease, what should he ask himself?
Why
did I get it? And where should he begin to look? Maybe I'm a gossiper, maybe I did something wrong. You know, but he has to self introspect. That's what he has to do. What do we have to do? What do his neighbors have to do? That's not their job to say, oh, what did this guy do wrong? What's their job to do? They have to bring him back. They have to mainstream him back into society. They have to help him slowly work your way back in. Got my point? Now, if we're talking about, we're going to get to the line of Israel in a minute, in Yom HaTzmaut. If you follow Chumash, you get back and look. There's definitely a theme in Chumash that we say in Shema every day, and we say in the Tochachot, that if we, in the Chukatai Telech, we follow God's laws, God will be, the land will give its produce, and we won't have war, we'll be prosperous, we'll live in peace, etc. If we don't keep his laws, things will get bad. Correct? That's not on at the individual level, but at the national level. That's almost a tenet of Judaism. If you believe in God, not in yourself, if you believe in God, things go wrong, it's Am Yisrael to blame. If you reach out, I think we've done that shit before. Now, but when things do go wrong, right? Let's say we know that when things go bad, then they go, it's because we've done something wrong. So what's our job afterwards? Is it to go find out what other community in Am Yisrael is wrong? Agree that? What? Or it's our job to heal and make things better, but look at ourselves, if we did something wrong, just like the Mitzvah himself has to introspect what I do wrong, and therefore all the Mitzvah shame, it's a gossip, it's a this, that, those are important. And there's a good chance he did. But the outside community, right, not that, their job is to mainstream and bring them back and reunite society. My point? So if I'm looking for sort of a formula, for, in case I don't get to this before we finish, in modern day Israel, I think it's clear that things aren't the greatest. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for, there's a lot to... It's not perfect redemption, it's not no redemption, it's somewhere in between. But when things have gone bad, or a situation hasn't been the greatest in the last decade or so, and that definitely requires interest, it can't be that we're following God exactly the way He wants us to, and things are so bad. To go and say that we're fine, we're perfect, we're doing exactly what God wants. You know, we have A+. And all these things is... called Tito, whatever it might be. All these bad habits because of this and that, I don't think someone can say that. To go and say, I know for sure it's this guy's fault, that guy's fault, that also you can do. But each group, the individual has to ask himself, each community, each group has to ask, how can I do better? At the same time, to make things better, there's a need to, instead of pointing fingers, who's to blame, etc., to work as much as possible to act as a nation, we're just as a nation, and we, just like in the analogy, and they give a cut all the time, just like a person, if his right hand cuts his left hand, right, his left hand's going to go back and cut his right arm. You're one person. So same thing with Anam Koisal, or everything that we're like one Neshama. Please, if one group of Amis does something that hurts the other, the idea isn't go to hurt them back. The idea is work out some way. You're one group, you have to work together. Now, with that in mind, I want to do the main topic, which is the Hallel for Yom HaTzmaut. But we'll begin with one of the sheets. Excuse me, could you sign? Yeah, sure.
When you say Am Yisrael, is it Yisrael only in Eretz Yisrael or all over the world?
Jewish people.
Our behavior in the United States would affect God.
I'm not a spokesman, but in general, Chumash has about the people of Israel. Now, in Chumash assumes the people of Israel are living in their land, and when they're bad, God says, I'm going to put you into exile until you're ready to come back, and then when things are ready, I'll bring opportunities for you to come back. Now, when some are living here and there, how to judge it? I think with globalization, we're still pretty much there. And again, how we do, what we do to help each other. And one of the roughest situations is when you want to help, but as you're not sure. When someone wants to help, sometimes when you're helping, you do more harm than good. So that's always a problem. So when it's not 100% clear that helping is really helping. It's like a kid growing up. You want to help your kid with your homework. You know, parents have that problem all the time. My kids have to go home. What do? You send your homework for them or with them, and so you think you're helping them. Any educator tell you, you're doing them a system because you'll become a crutch, right, and they'll never learn to do. You got my point? Sometimes trying to help people, but you can't take the extreme and therefore never help anybody. You have to find a, and then you don't help them at all, but you have to help them help themselves. That's a whole long. Now, look at the first pasuk in Dominican, Eretz Yisrael. I think Dominican, the Rabbanut started way back when Yom HaTzmut first began, was at Marv, on Yom HaTzmut, and also on Yom Yerushalayim, before Borchu, they say this parak, I'm sure it's a minag here, from Zion, minag of Hasidim, I think, and the Mizrachi to say it also Erev Shabbat. We'll see why. It's a nice parak in Tehillim, we call Hodu. I want to read just the first line, to start. I purposely give a printout, you'll see why it's pasuk by pasuk. Hodu Lashem ki tov ki lolam chazo, let's translate that, praise God, because he is good, or because it is good? That's the seifa. But the first part, praise God because it is good, not because he is good. I mean, it could be he is good, but what? We'll see why in a second. Hod Hashem Kito, praise God because it is good. Sounds like it's good to praise God. Kilo Lam Chazdo, because his chesed. You know what chesed means here? I mean, chesed probably means kindness. So chesed usually, I think, it's, in Chumash at least, or in Bible, relates somehow to a covenant. It's kindness, but usually within the framework of a covenant. If we had time, we could do a whole show on that. I read a couple articles on it. It's like really neat. You don't pay attention to it, but it's really neat. I remember when I read the article, it was convincing. But the word chesed usually is in the framework of a covenant. And like being committed, keeping a commitment to a covenant, and keeping your side of a covenant to even maybe more than you would need to. Now, that statement, or maybe, is that a statement or a command? Just read it by itself.
An invitation.
Are we saying, you know, is this a good idea? It's good to praise God because this is like a nice Eitzah Tova. Good. Or is it a command? This is what you have to do. What is it? It's a tzivui, isn't it? It's a commandment. Who's being commanded? I'll give it. Now, what I'll do is for an example. That's why I want you to have another tzivui. Open up. This one's easy. But before we get into this one, I want to look at kufay. In the back of your sitter there, you have kufay. If you want, you can also use your sitter in a parallel parakeet tzivui, which is, we say, we call hodu every day. But I'd rather you look at kufzayin inside. I mean, kufay inside. If you want, you can look at the beginning of before or after Baruch Shamar. If you want bigger letters, Hodu and Baruch Shamar is almost the same. It's not. It's a parallel parak. They're very similar. The difference is acute. But you can look at either one. In fact, it'd be nice if some people in one and the other, you can see the tiny little nuances that are different. Okay. How does it begin? Look at the first line there. Okay, it says, Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo. Is that a, we say this every day, don't we? Is that a command or a statement? It's a command. Now, I want you to take a look at Tilim Kufay and tell me, pretend you're making bullets in a word processor. Okay? How many lines are a command? And then I want you to find who's being commanded. You should be really easy because you say this every day. You probably never notice this. What I'm trying to show you is how to read a Perek in Tehillim. We have a minhag of saying Tehillim. You know the line we use all the time. That makes you say Tehillim but not to understand it. If you understand the words, it takes away from the Kavana. I want to show exactly the opposite today. But I want you to get in general Tehillim, there's always some type of opener. And you have to be able to find the opener and then figure out how the main part of the Perek relates to the opener. But there's a set of commands here. You can find them. They're real easy. What I want you on your own is find, so how many psukim is a set of commands, and then find me who's being commanded. It's real simple. Right, the first type of commands, and who's being commanded? Zevram, Avdo, Vinyanko, Bechirov. Do we say that in davening? By the way, what's our new stuff in davening? Zerah? Have you ever heard? We say in davening, Zerah Yisrael, Avdo. Because that's the Nusach in Dibur. What we say in Davening is parallel with Dibur Yamin. I think it's in Davening, isn't it? Am I right? It's in Dibur Yamin. Now, Dibur Yamin is recording what happened in the time of David. It's the same time period. You know when in Dibur Yamin, I think we did that share, but I know not only were I promise, we're not going to double over Shiurim, but a quick reminder, when was this parak written? But what occasion was this written? I guess I should have answered. Okay, I guess a couple of years ago. Remember David HaMelech wanted to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
Everyone knows the Michal story. But after that's all over, he finally brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. That's not all he does. He brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. He sets up a choir in Yerushalayim. He organizes the Levim in Yerushalayim. He wants to build the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. He gets everything ready. He's organizing Jerusalem to become not just the political center of the Jewish people, also the religious center. And therefore, it's important as soon as he makes his capital and moves his throne and his palace to Yerushalayim, right away he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. He sets up a mizbeach. He sets up a choir, and it becomes like a great synagogue for their davening. Who did he appoint to be the leader of the Levites at that time? That you will never know. Who is the Levite appointed by David to lead the Levim in this choir? Oh, there is. Talk about him a couple times a week. Asaf. For like means more or less Asaf? A couple. He's over 10. There's lots of Pekimah Tehillim by him. Over 10, 12, 13 of Asaf. We say he's in the davening in Shir Shoyom. Asaf was the chief Levite, and he composed the Perek Tehillim that was composed for the event of bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim was none other than this one. Hodol Hashem Kiru Bishmo, Audi Bamim Alilotav, Shir Lo Zamrolo Bechulei. Why is that meaningful in the time of David? Because in the time of David, it's the first time in Jewish history, since we came out of Egypt, that we can actually do that and it could work. See? The first time we could sing about God and tell the nations about God, the first time nations are beginning to listen to us, is there. You know why? Because the time of David is the first time where we're recognized as a fledgling superpower. And the first time people recognize our culture and our strength and our we'll get to that topic for you on smooth. But you follow? That's the. What David HaMelech says, Hodu Bamim Alilotav. So he's taking what scene from Bereshit is here? That's obvious. Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo. That we remember from Sefer Bereshit, I hope. Where's that scene in Sefer Bereshit of Kiru Bishmo? When Avraham Avinu was chosen, the first time he goes on the Nefesh trip, he makes Aliyah. And he comes to Beit El, he builds a mizbeach by Kra B'Shem Hashem, and then he goes down to Egypt, comes back to Beit El, and he comes to Kra B'Shem Hashem. By the Esther B'Sheva, they call Shem B'Shem Hashem El Olam. Avram calls out, not to God, but calls out about God. Same with Ramban. Calling out, and then Yitzchak, when he makes his, he goes from Grah to B'Sheva, builds a mizbeach. Adiyavot were Kra B'Shem Hashem, meaning they made a name for God. In contrast to, remember at the end of Bereshit, Asu Chaviko B'Shem Hashem? It's a big thing. But Bin Gabbatel was, what was Bin Gabbatel? Remind me? Venatelanu Shem. The question is, does mankind make a name for itself? Or is mankind's goal to make a name for God? Making a name meaning a reputation. There's a dying theme in Chumash that begins with Bereshit about the people of Israel were chosen to make a name for God. I hope that's obvious. If you pay attention, we say in davening, it's every other word. Kaddish. Let's make his name great. Hey, Shmei Rabban Farah. Bruch Shamar, Bruch Shmo, Yishabach Shimcha. Atov Shimcha Lachana Lahodot. One of the main purposes that God chose Avraham Avinu to become a nation was in order to publicize God's name. To bring the idea of monotheism to mankind, that's like Alephet and Chumash. And the vehicle that God uses to do that, one of the vehicles is the people of Israel. How do we do that? And that's, in essence, that's what the state of Israel is. That's something to sing hallow about. Is that as individuals, we can talk about God all the time and everywhere on the globe, etc. But if we have an entire nation dedicated to that goal of making a name for God, and that nation is not just individuals, but they have their own men, and they have their own political entity, they have their own society, they have their own, they can be able to call a model nation, and they can represent God not only as individuals, but also as a nation. And then having a Jewish state, is like the basics of religious Zionism, is that religious Zionism isn't just a Zionist happens to be religious. So you have religious scientists, and you have religious culture. Oh, yes, aren't there? That means a person's a scientist, he's also religious. A person can be a liberal, say religious liberals, religious, what's the opposite of a liberal? Yep, understand? You have Zionists, and the person can be religious. That's not religious Zionism. It might be, but it's not, I don't think it's our religious Zionism. Our religious Zionism means that there's a connection between Zionism has a religious value, meaning that the state of Israel as a state can be a political entity, right, which can advance Torah values. Advance not only Torah values, but the recognition of God by mankind to make the world a better place to live. And again, individuals can do that, but even more so can be done by to a nation. And that's when David and Melech built the Beit HaMikdash, that's what they're thinking about all the time. To the point that Shlomo Melech, when he builds, and that's why he marries all these foreign wives, it's part of his PR thing. Makashva comes to visit and she's amazed. Remember, Makashva hears the name of Shlomo for the name of God. And by, now if we didn't have a strong country, no one would listen to it. But now that we have a country that people look up to, Shlomo is known for his culture, for his wisdom, for his army, for his wealth, for his strength, and also for his Torah, and we'll see later also for his Tzedakah Mishpat. When that happens, other nations, we get visibility, and then we can accomplish our goal. What we like to say, that's what's called Tzchufa V'Shichit, the Messianic time period. Messianic time period is what we like to call first place and not home plate. Understand the analogy of Rav Meidan said recently in a tish, Rav Yaakov Meidan, he said that he brought the Chavetz Chaim story about, you know, Chavetz Chaim story has a special set of Shabbos for when Mashiach comes already, Mitzvah Yeshua. He says he grew up on that story, but he says he has, in his little suitcase when Mashiach comes, he has work clothes. You know, Rav Meidan, that's classic. I mean, when we have a state, and we have our own country, and we're set, that's not the time to sit back and relax. It's not Pesach, it's not relaxing time. So then what is it? Now we can begin to accomplish our goal. Up until then, we can't accomplish our goal. If you look in Tafsim, tomorrow we'll be saying it. The Rachum thing, we say, we don't deserve it. Give us a chance, and then we can, as Reino Hekinsh, help us in our bad situation. For the sake of your name, for the sake of reputation, make the nation that talks about you all the time, the nation that everywhere they turn, they say, Baruch Hashem, and Yirtz Hashem everywhere, the nation talks about God all the time, help them out so that they can do their job. Because if they're constantly being punished, and now no one will listen to them. So we'll see how this parable will relate to it in a minute. But that's a major thing we say in davening all the time. So if you go back here, who has to give this praise in Tehillim Kol Hei? The people of Israel. Why? That's why they were chosen. Zera Yisrael Avdo, Zera Avram Avo, Ben Yaakov B'chirav. The people of Israel were chosen for that purpose, and therefore, they're obligated to sing God's praise. Now look at the next line. Show my heart from that. What's the next line? Who? Hashem Elokeinu. Who's who? Who Hashem Elokeinu is? The God that has to speak without, the God that we're talking about, that we have to praise and sing, He's our God. We have this dialectic all the time. Is he our God or is he everyone's God? Everyone remember the problem? Is the God of Israel, is he only our God? We have our God, they got their God. Like a sports, like a... We have our team, we have their team. And it's a contest, whose God's better? Who's God going to win? The God of Israel, the God of Kamosh, or the God of Mishtim, etc.? It's a war between God. Or is our God the only God? Then how is he our God?
No.
He's our God in the sense that we have a covenant. We're working for him. He's our boss. But we're saying the God who's our God means the God who we're representing, he's the only God. You know we talk about that every day? We say that. We close our eyes when we say that. That's Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. If you know Sefer Dvarim, that's exactly what it's talking about. Because Hashem Elokeinu is Hashem Elokeinu Kratim under Brit B'Horeb. The God who we made a covenant with in Horeb, he gave us his laws. But the God that we're representing, the God we're representing, he's the God of all mankind. And therefore, on the one hand, he's our God, and therefore we're responsible to him. But I'm saying the God that we're representing is the God of all mankind, which makes our job only increase our responsibility. Now, we go on, and it's talking about, they explain what this brit is. What's this brit? This brit is that he promised the Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, he promised them the land of Israel. Remember, brit ben Abtarim, brit milah, etc. Now, what's the next topic? You say this every day, so you know, you should remember it. He made this brit with Abraham, Asher Kata Abraham, which was that Yitzchak Rebbe Yaakov Lechok. He made this promise about becoming a nation where the Avot were only few in number. And there was four stays there. And what happened? Who's that talking about? Who went from nation to nation? Who is it talking about? When you say this every day in davening, who are you thinking about? Besides who won the game last night? But who? What? It's not about the people of Israel, is it going from nation to nation in Galut? It's real simple. Who went? It's talking about the Avot. It's talking about our forefathers. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we just mentioned, they went from nation to nation, from place to place, and God didn't allow any other leader to oppress them. Loskam. And he rebuked other leaders. Remember Yitzhak and Abimelech, Abraham and Paro, and Abraham and Abimelech, and Yaakov and Laban. And what did God say? Al Sigu Bim Shechem Be'atareinu. It's talking about the Avot. Hopefully you should realize that when you... It means God made a covenant with the Avot and he took care of them. Look how the prayer continues, just for a second. This was the Shishul Yom HaTetzach. This is the famous one. I guess you guys never read... Kufay is such a great one. If you ever have to teach it, if you want to give a class on Shemot, just for the final, tell them to explain Per Kufay. Instead of writing tests, if you teach Chumash, all you have to do is just take a Perek and Tehillim and give that as your final and tell them, explain the Perek and Tehillim based on Chumash. And then they'll understand Chumash better, they'll understand Tehillim better. Look at the next line. We're at the bottom on page 33 in here. I mean, the end of the Tehillim thing. That's where we stop in davening. Then we say, Shiru L'Hashem Shir Chadash. That was the old song, now we're singing a new song. That's a different Perek and Tehillim we say in davening in the morning. We say, Vayikra Rav Al Haaretz, Kol Matan Lechem Shavar, Shalach Lifneihem Ish, Levin Nimkar Yosef, We have a beautiful review of Sefer Bereshit. That's why the first one has to be the Avot. We talk about how God protected the Avot, how Yosef went down to Egypt, how Yosef became a big shot in Egypt, how the Shibud began, and later on the Perek, what do we get? That, we don't get the 10 plagues, we get 7 of the 10. But we get what we call the 10 plagues. Follow? Go to the end of the Perek. Did we end with the 10 plagues? Look with the Perek. We have a beautiful view of history, and notice when you go through it later on your own, it talks about everything that God did for us. Look how God kept to his covenant. You see how beautiful and simple the parak is. Look how God kept to his covenant. Where does it end? After he set me shrine, what do we have after that? Yotim v'ketzet v'zahav? At the end? Shamach mitzvah b'tzitam ki nefapachtam aleihem? Etzim m'gilat testem, remember ki nefapachtidim aleihem? It's built on that. Pras anan l'masach, esh anan, at the beginning of Bashalach. Slav, Shalach, Lechem, the man, Petach Tzurvi is the woman, that's Rufidim, Chubitav Nahar. Why? Look at the last, towards the fourth lines from the bottom. Ki Zachar et Tvar Kotsho, what did God do? What's Tvar Kotsho? He kept his brief. What brief did he fulfill? The Ben of Turin. That's why this is Shir Shoyom on Kolomai Pesa. Bet Avraham Abdo, remember? Remember, Zer Avraham Abdo, Ben Yaakov Bechirav? Biyoti Amo Besasom Brinad Bechirav. Vaitein la'matzot goyim, this is the topic for the matzot, Vaitein la'matzot goyim, he gave the land of other nations, v'amal domim yirashu, why? V'avor yishmeru chukav v'torotadim tzaro. Why did God give us the land? so that we would keep his laws. You see the balance of the parak? First we think, it's our obligation. Who's obligated to sing the praise of God? We are. Why? Because we're covenantal partners with God. God kept his side of the covenant, and therefore, and he kept and brought us to the land of Israel. What do we have to do? We have to keep our side of the covenant. And therefore, hold it, Hashem, kiru b'shmo v'yibamim elotav shulo. See how simple it is? The parak? No. Just for the fun of it, look at the big first line of the next one. I'm doing this because to appreciate Kuf Zayin, you have to know Kuf Hei Kuf Vav. You follow? Kuf Zayin, I'm sure you've seen before. We'll get to that in a minute. But to appreciate Kuf Zayin, you have to see Kuf Hei Kuf Vav. Look at the opening line of Kuf Vav and tell me if it's a command or a statement. Hallelujah. Kudu Hashem Ki Tov, Lolam Chazo. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Is this a command though? Look at the next line. Look at the next line. You know the song from Hanukkah, but we changed the words a little bit. You know the Hanukkah song was from Tehillim? This place? Remember me, Malam Gvurot? There's me, Malam Gvurot Hashem. Yashmiya Kol Tiloto. What's the question now? Who what? This isn't... Who's able? But we're obligated, but who's worthy of singing God's praise? Can anyone sing God's praise? We're obligated. But what do we need to get into this? What do we need to do to get into the choir? How do we get accepted? What enables us to sing God's praise? You can guess if you know Sefer Bereshit. Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat Oseh Tzedakah B'Choed. What theme is that? That we've done 100 times. Remember the theme of Tzedakah Mishpat in the Bible? Mm-hmm. With from Avraham Avinu, from Bereshit, but all through Chumash, all through Levin. Not that Yeah.
Isn't this
possible
of Nehemiah the fourth for saying that's what I heard.
It could be. Yeah.
In order to
kind of
appoint God's anger or
gain a
favor,
that's me, I call
you up with
the same all of Tillim. To me, this sounds a bit, I think it sounds a little drushic, but I think how deep the drush is, if I'm reading it right. What's that? Me, Baruch Vot Hashem, who can sing God's praise? And Yashmeach, that's Tigbolet. You know what Tigbolet is? Tigbolet would call us parallelism. Like, Hazir Hashemayim v'daber v'tishma asim r'fi. Yaruch Kutam Asa Yichi, or my daughter, explained to my son when he couldn't understand it was, shut up and be quiet. But my 12-year-old daughter told my, my teenage daughter told my, 8-year-old son when they had a homework assignment to find the Tigbolet. He didn't understand what a Tigbolet was. We explained to him, and it was the best explanation I've ever heard for Tigbolet. I mean, and it's so on the mark, because you're saying the same thing, but by saying it in two different ways, it's much more powerful. And that's what great people thought, especially in a negative way. Now, therefore, that's Tigbolet, isn't it? Me and my Lord Hashem, and me, Yashmiya Tiloto. What's the answer? Right? People keep Tzedek Mishpat. Who's worthy? Now, why do we say Tilin? What do we say here? Who's worthy to say Tilin? Someone who, when he sings God's praise, that same person who's nice and kind and makes a good name for God, when he sings God's praise, then God looks good. If a bum, a person whose behavior is disgusting, he sings God's praise, God doesn't look good. That's a bad marketing. It's counterproductive. Now, we would want to sing, why would we sing Tilin? We're not saying Tilin as a magic formula. What are we doing? We're saying Tilin to remind ourselves how we need to act to be worthy of God helping us. We're going to see that's what the parak is going to be about. I mean, why are we saying Tilin? And that's so important when we say Tilin, otherwise it becomes borderline of Avodah Zarah. We're saying Tilin to inspire ourselves to act in a way that God should come and help us and save us. If you follow the thing we talked about at the beginning. God, there's no reason, God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to do well. God wants us to be successful in our job. And he promises if we follow his laws and keep and make a good name for him, he'll have what's called Chai Mitzvah Mitzvah. That's the Tocha Chod. You make a name for me, I'll make sure your land is good and you'll have peace, etc. If you do a lousy job, what's got to say over and over again? I'll have to punish you over and over again until you recognize your mistake. It's one of the thing is glaring throughout Chumash. Now, we recognize though that we're only human and we constantly say in davening, listen, we make mistakes. Help us out a little here and there, but if you help us out, I'll do my job a little bit better. Now, look how this parak continues. I didn't want to do that, but just the first part quickly. Then we have a tefillah. Zachreni Hashem b'tzon amecha v'kdeni b'shivotach. We're asking God to come and help us from our trouble. Help us, remember us, help us get through our troubles. What's our main point we say now? Then we start talking about how bad we are. We got a, what do you call it, somebody just talks about how bad he is all the time. Got a complex, or he's got a, that's the word? He's saying, look how bad we are. And guess what this parak's going to be? It's another review of Chumash. But you can guess what's going to be reviewed now. Not all the things that God, we're not coming to explain now how God kept his side of the covenant. What's Perkuf all about? Take a quick look. It's here to review of Chumash. What is it? It's how we have been unfaithful in our side of the covenant. Story by story of Chumash, how we angered God at Kriyat Yam Suf, we angered him at, no, with the, what's that? There's no shortage of things. With Nimriva, with Satan Baviram. What do you call it? Yeah, there's everything. Balfour. The whole thing. Doesn't he? The whole thing he has against him. Doesn't he? You follow? Now, look how this parak ends. This, again, we bring it all, this parak continues how bad we've been until we came into the land of Israel. Look at the end of the parak. Again, you can read it on your own later on. There's some great sukkim, by the way. Like, there's a cute rhyme with Tatan Bavi Ram. Who's that one? Where's Tatan Bavi Ram? Anyone find Tatan Bavi Ram in there? It's just so cute. Yeah. Which one is it? Just read it. It's, which is it, Tatan one? Here it is. Vativlad Tatan. I'm sorry. Tivtach Ha'aret Vativlad Tatan Vatchas Al Adat Bavi Ram. See, they made it the rhyme? Just a little few things there. Also, but the Chesedot Tzedakah there is cute. You can understand it by Avram Avinu from over here. But go to the end of the parak. We get to the land of Israel, and just scan the last four pages who came and tell me what it's talking about. About we came to the land of Israel and we gave our daughters Tavod Zara, and we learned like towards the end, like Tavuva Goyve and Dumasam. We intermingled with the non-Jews in the land of Israel. We didn't capture the land. And we learned from their ways, and we became a nation of idol worshippers. And God got angry with us. Look at the last 5-6 lines. It says, "Pamim rabot yatzilein." Many times God saved us. "Ve'imo yamru v'satam," and we continue to rebel. "Ve'imkru v'avonam." "Ve'ar b'tzal lehem b'shal minatam." "Ve'iskol lehem b'tzal v'nechem krum chesedah." That's the idea of chesed there again. What happened? Even though we were deserving, we cried out to God when we were in trouble, and He had rachmanis on us because of His great kindness. So again, kindness because of the breed. And how's the parak end? With the tefillah. Hosheinu Hashem Elokeinu v'kapteinu min ha-goyim. For what reason? Now that we've been so bad, what are we saying? Listen, we've been unfaithful on our side. We recognize that. We're doing it. Now, do us a favor. Bring us back to our land. V'kapteinu min ha-goyim. And what will we do when we come back? See how simple the parak is? And then we end with the bracha of the mikdash. You know the bracha of the mikdash? The bracha of the mikdash is prayer. Bracha Hashem Elokei Yisrael min olam ad olam. Zomar Kolamin, Amen. That's how we're saying in the mikdash. In the mikdash we made a different bracha. We only say that by, only after Shema, but everyone knows that's a Gemara bracha about how we, the difference between brachot in the mikdash and brachot in Kuvin. We also say that in the end of Sukkot and Zimra. Now, in that context, what's the next parak in Tehillim? You see the two perkim, kufay, kufav? Kufay is how we're obligated to sing God's praise. That's why He chose us. He kept His side of the covenant. We have to keep ours. That's why He gave us the land. B, we've been unfaithful in that covenant. And we consistently, especially, you see Sefer Shoftim at the end of the book? Everyone notice Sefer Shoftim at the end of the book? At the end of kufav? It's not just one time, over and over again, that's Sefer Shoftim, isn't it? It's a summary of Sefer Shoftim. The end of Perek Kufav. See the last five, six lines? Before Tfilah? Why does it make sense that Tfilah is talking about the end of the time of the Shoftim? That's when it's being written. That's exactly the time period. This is David. This is David's prayer. Hosheinu Hashem Elokeinu. We've been lousy the whole time. We've been under them. Now if you bring us back and give us prosperity and save us from our enemies, this time we'll do it right. And we'll sing your praise properly. You follow? And therefore, what does David do? He wants to build a Mikdash. He sets up the Levim. That's why he writes Sefer Tehillim. That's what Sefer Tehillim is about. We'll see it's going to be the answer to Sefer Shoftim. Now, look now at Kuf Zayin. The Tafak Yidim. Or either way. Who's being commanded now in Tarek Aleph? In Pasuk Aleph? Who's being commanded to praise God?
What?
Who? Yomru gul pasi pasi bet, yomru gul ay Hashem esher golem yatsar, u me'atzot kibtam, yimizach imav, heo mitzachon umiyam. Who's obligated now? Those who become redeemed. We're continuing per kapitul kuvav, aren't we? What was that tefillah at the end of kuvav? Hashinu Hashem elokim v'kapteinu min agoyim. Now we're hoping that God's going to fulfill that prayer and bring us back from our exile. And therefore now, who is super obligated now to praise Him? Anyone who's been saved. Because why? If we're being saved, lo do l'shem kachecha. You see how simple it is? Hashem Hashem v'kapteinu min agoyim lo do l'shem kachecha. If God, if we're praying to God, save us, and if you save us, we'll do our job. Now we have a parak saying, should you be saved from tzar by God, make sure to praise Him. You follow? And therefore, Pesukim Aleph and Gimel are simply a. Now, I'm going to give you a little homework just for a second. I'll give you the answers already in a minute. You've probably done this before. What word here is, what phrase is repeated over and over again in this tarot? You see a phrase that's repeated over and over again? Yeah. Yodu Hashem, how many times is that there? And by Zaku. Take a look at how many, if you have a pen or a pencil, to circle them whenever you see them. And then you, it's better do it on the desk. I give you bigger letters than plastic by plastic. It's easier to see. You see the tzaka? You see the, see how they repeat themselves? We're short on time, so I'm just going to spill the beans. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to embarrass you to make out. Look at that. I give you a 10-minute assignment to put the text. Let's just give this out, and I'll show you the same parrot reformatted. So I just wanted to show you how the key words form, make a form. Pretend you did the assignment and you found every time it said Hodu Vaitaku Vakure. And now we simply put it all together. This is a good daf. I think when you said good dafening, I think it's better to give it out this way than does they have a tzilach on the floor? Yeah. So if you use this page. Should sit on one side though. If you sit on one side, it's much easier to read the parak when it's formatted. It should make a formatted sitter like this for a lot of things. It makes dafening a lot easier. Now, see the first three lines of the Patiach? That's the Levim. Who's speaking to the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash are calling out to praise God? What are we saying? Whenever anyone is in Tzar, should praise God. Look at Sukkim Dalai Dehe. What are they describing? It's talking about someone lost, but here's someone lost in the desert. Not on earth. Lost in the desert. There's no water. There's no nothing to drink. And they're about to die. What do they do in their misery, in their distress? What does God do for them? God makes them find back to civilization. What do they need to do? You follow? What's the next case? But if you read this parak in Tehillim and don't understand the structure, you have no idea what's going on. You're reading Greek. You follow? Or Latin. What's the next case? Pasuk Yud. This should sound familiar. Yeshvi Choshech V'tzamavet Asri Oni Barzel. How come it sounds familiar to everybody? That's what we say before Kaparot, exactly. If you understand what. And what's it talking about? Someone in jail. In jail is not like nowadays. Nowadays jails are like three-star hotels. That's been in jail, you're going to die. You're in a dungeon. You're in a cave in a dungeon. You're in jail. You're finished. You're in trouble. Kimru Imrael, and now we say, why are you in jail? People in trouble, in jail. And they're stuck, they're going to die. What do they do in jail? Or they get a lawyer. What does God do for them? Simple. What did I need to do? Yodov Hashem Chazdov. Why? See, God is the one who opened up the shackles from their enslavement. You see the pattern? The next one. Here we get already. People are sick, but there's a reason why. They're sick because their behavior was bad. Some of them are so sick that they can't eat food. They're so sick, they can't eat food, they're about to die. What's called? For Katagom now? Is that an amazing coincidence? It's not an amazing coincidence. It's exactly the Gemara in Brachot in Parak Hamorah in the beginning. It talks about it. Where do we learn Brachot HaGomel from? Everyone knows in Shul Brachot HaGomel, right? Remember, in the Chag Women say it or not. There's the whole, you know, the whole, all the controversies and stuff. But what people need to say Brachot HaGomel? What, who are obligated to say Brachot HaGomel? The Gemara learns from these four cases. Yeah. Oh, cute. Yes, but Achole, Yam.
They play
Surah. Yeah. Assyria. And?
And
Midbar. And Midbar. Okay. Different order, but because, you know, it's a good way to remember. So here's talking about people who are sick. What's the proof that someone's sick? What's the Yeshua? Yishak. You follow? And look at this one there, which is cute. You know Hashem Chazal Yitab Bitni Adam? Pasach HaBet. Vayitzvuchuz Yitchei Todah Vetzapru Matzabrina. There's a stage before him. According to this, what does this person have to do? He has to bring what's called a korban todah. What we call nowadays, a kiddush. I'll explain why. A korban todah, you know the words of the korban todah. I'm sure you remember them from Parshat Tzav. Remember? Zotor HaTashlamin, in Al Todah, you have to korban todah? I'm sure you have, maybe you don't remember. If you bring a korban todah, you're limited in how much time you have to eat it. You have to eat it within that day, that's it. You know, there's nobody, you can't leave anything up. It's also you have any leftovers the next morning. That's these all day. And you have to have 40 breads with it. Lots of bread come with it. Now, if you know the size of an animal, you can't eat all that in one day. Okay. And you have to eat it within the walls of Jerusalem. Within the day. Therefore, what's that force you to do? Force you to invite the share to, that's what we call a kiddush. Now, what will happen when you have this big barbecue? It's called a mangal, alayish, or this big barbecue. It's a field. You have to finish up all the meat within that day, and all this bread, and you can't, and you have to have it in your time where everyone's hanging out, and you got to finish it. What are you going to have to do? You have to invite people to come over, and everyone can join in. What are they going to ask?
What's the occasion?
What do you say? It's a great Jewish method of praising God, using food as a vehicle to, right, to praise God. the last case, your day Yambo Niyot, Osei Lachava Maim Rabim. That's it, December Mountain Sea. And he talks about how the sea is up and down like a shikor. And if you know inside there's these upside down moons, that's the limit. Voltaire here, you just see them on the side. You see the top here? I think I never started, okay, explanation. I understand them as like making waves. I don't know if I'm making it up, but it seems like I don't think it's my chance to have these little delimiters in talking, but it's coming to emphasize up and the down and up and down of the student's talking about. But you're lost at sea, and what do? By Sakosha Batalahim, Mitzotem Yinatek, Mitzotem Yotiyem, they came to the Mama, God will put down the storm, and they'll be happy because the storm stops, and then you'll go Lashem Chazodim, Rimon Bukha'am, this we say in Roshayim Kippur Davening, that to you. And when the Gemara Brachot, when it discusses that, it goes in and learns from, we learn from each case on all four. You follow? All these people have to bring, not only the third case has to bring the Korban Todah, everyone brings the Korban Todah. It's the classic sugya of how we learn halakha from the parents. Nowadays, we don't bring the Korban Todah, instead we say Mizmor Todah. And that's what we didn't say on Chalamay Pesach, because we can't, Korban Todah comes with bread, with chametz. Therefore, you can't bring it. Chalamay Sukkot, we do say it. Every Yom Kippur we don't say for that reason, because you can't eat. That's time to finish eating it. But that's the first part of the parak. What do we have? Our opening line is who's obligated to praise God? Those who are saved from tsar. Ending by four examples of people saved from tsar, how they have to praise God. Now, remember we just finished Kuvzayim? Didn't Kuvav ever say for Shoftim? The older say for Shoftim. Remember the second one say for Shoftim? Azbu B'nai Yisrael Hashem. What's the next part of the cycle? God brings the Tzara. What did B'nai Yisrael do? Tzaka. First Tzaka. Tzaka. Then God sends a Mashiach. Yeshua. And then what happens? It works every single time, it says. What? Vatishkot ha'aretz. What? In the Sheket. There's always Sheket at the end. Remember? Vatishkot ha'aretz ha'bayim shana. And then what happens? All over again. Where do they find God? In the foxhole. When things are bad, they're finding God only when things are bad. When things are good, they don't. It doesn't exist anymore. Like teenagers and parents. You only... You follow? Now, who wrote Sefer Shoftim? Shmuel. And what was his point? You want political reform. For what reason? Do you think that's going to solve your problem? I'm telling you, the real reason for your problem is because you've forgotten God. And you're making the same mistake over and over again. Comes David HaMelech, anointed by Shmuel, a Talmid of Shmuel, who learned Sefer Shoftim, and is a good political leader. That would be me, for God's Atit Lumit. Understands in his yeshiva learning. He doesn't just sit and learn all day, he also builds up the country, does the army, etc., becomes a political leader. And he takes his understanding and his learning and applies it to leading his country. And what's his point now? How are we going to fix the cycle of Sefer Shoftim? You see the same cycle here? Sarah, Saka, Yeshua, no longer second, now it's Hodaya. You follow? To find God not only when you're in trouble, it's when the trouble's over. And then to find God in your prosperity. And then the next stage of Tzidim is even greater. We find God when nothing was wrong. I understand thinking that I was in trouble, now I'm better. But finding God, saving, daving the same way you daven when you're in trouble, daving the same way when you're not in trouble. And not just looking for God when things are bad, making a name for God when they're good. And relating the good to God. That's the tilot. That's the tilot of David. There's tilot and there's tilot, yeah.
But that's why it's so important then to have the open back and have God's presence being there all the time. In order to be a constant reminder that we're a holy
people. And that's the whole point of the idea of the Mikdash is not just a reminder. It's not just for privilege. Oh, now we can bring Karbonot and do whatever we want and be atoned. It's the exact opposite. It's a reminder, A, that He's our God, He's in our midst, and B, it's also a sign for the Mikdash, it's a sign to other nations that we're His people. Like Tzilut Shabiyad and Tzilut Shabarosh, I think we've had analogy once before. You follow? And therefore, that's what makes David Mashiach. That we discussed one time for sure. But the idea of the Mashiach David, and we did say for Shmuel, what makes him, why he's the paradigm of Messiah, is not because of miracles he does. He's a political leader, inspired by a Navi and by Hashem, he's a CEO who puts it all together. He takes a concept, an idea, and he makes it work. If you have the greatest ideas, if you don't have a CEO making it happen, you can file away the curriculum, etc., but it won't work unless someone, you have a leader who's able to put it all together. And the Kuvah B'Shechid is what we call first base when it puts together. Now at the end of the parak, so we'll finish with that, something very interesting. We break our pattern of four cases, but we bring an observation about life in general, the whole point we talked about in the beginning. What does God do? Yesem dorot amidbar musemayim simon. God can take rivers and dry them out to the desert. Eretz tuda mechav, a fruitful land, turned it dry, turned it salty. Why? Mirat yoshveva. God affects what happens to our agriculture, to our land. To our prosperity is a function of our deeds. By the way, this sounds universal here, not just the people of Israel. Yesem yifar lagamayim. On the flip side, what can God do? He can take a desert, a Negev, and turn it to a Gan Eden. Eretz tzialim utzeimayim. Again, take bullet. Vayosef shamreilim, who bring hungry people there. In this land that was once a desert, and now turned into a spring of water. By Chonon Moshe, they'll build settlements. By Zeru Sadot, they'll plant fields. By Shukramim, right? They'll dry swamps, so they'll build cities, they'll build vineyards. They have to be Tzua, they'll prosper. By Vachem, by Bumo, they'll be blessed. They'll multiply in numbers, then Tamlo Yamit. Their economy will grow. Even though, blessed Lamed, it's difficult, I'll explain why most Hashem explained, even though beforehand they were down and lowered themselves because of their bad situation, despite all that God brought them up, and we'll see why we say that. Because men in the Melech summarize, what can they do? Shofech put on the divin. God throws his anger and his shame on those who are affluent, naughty, by tembo dolo derech. On the flip side, they did, as the only, we have some kitzomish b'chol. God, life brings up the lower, the Dalkal, and he puts down the Hadi. What's the conclusion? People able to see this should be happy to understand the ways of God. Who is wise and can keep these things and be able to have insight and vision to see the hand of God in the way he runs the world. Now, you can understand why they picked the Tzaret for Yom HaTzmaut, especially the ending. Now, this was written at a time with the hope of Hoshino Hashem Gavtim Ben Agoyim. Was this form written or finalized and by Chaney? I won't get into all history of it. But it sounds like praising God. If you look at the last 100 years of Jewish history, even though this is Ksuvim, this is more Nevuah, in the classic sense of Nevuah, of predicting the future. If there's a parak which describes our return, our Kaptinim in Agoyim, in our own 50, 100 years of Jewish history, look at the cases, the four cases that you have. People lost in the desert, walking through deserts to come to Israel.
Yes.
Right, right? People, concentration camps, Assyrian, Beni Barzel, difficult. People going on ships, under the Yam. No shortage of stories of that. All the, with the Makilim, etc., all this, unfortunately, shank, etc. People were sick, healthy. People were in jail, now we're just in Cyprus, all different places. All coming, returning to the land. It was such a natural pick in the time, and then the land that was a swampland turning into a Gan Eden. It's amazing, like, no one would believe later on that this was written 2,000, 3,000 years before the event. And therefore, this parak, the thing, Tehillim Tilim and Yom HaTzmaut, this parak in Tehillim, is one, when you understand it and appreciate it, and the bottom line is, it's our obligation to look into history and look at the hand of God in history, but with a double message. On the one hand, our obligation, because we were chosen to praise Him, to be His nation, we have to recognize His hand and thank Him for whatever, even if it's partial, any element of redemption that we receive. At the same time, recognize it's our obligation to act. If you read Kuf Zayin together with Kuf Hei Kuf Vav, you appreciate what our obligation is as opposed to what God's obligation is. And it's not just about we demand or you made us the promise, keep it. If we have a covenantal relationship, you're keeping your side, we have to keep our side. And praising God is not just about praising Him, and I'll do you some more favors, but praising Him and reminding yourself the type of behavior we need to do. And if I want to go back, I said in the beginning, I hope it's clear, that we have to do isn't to point fingers, you're wrong. If something goes wrong, we have to look at ourselves what we might have done wrong. But at the same time, the reason why we were chosen, the reason why God's redeeming us is lo'odot l'shem kodshecha, and in dealing, now that God gave us a country, you can argue right, wrong, but we have a country. What do we do with it now? How involved are we with it? What efforts do we make to make this country a country that will make God's name great, and do it in a way which will bring a name for God? That's not easy. That we need shrewd and wise political leadership, etc., but and keeping that framework in mind will hopefully be a guideline for future behavior. Yeah. In general, Erev Shabbos in general is a time for reflection. Before that. The Midrash from the Best, yeah.
Shabbos of
Well, first of all, the idea by Zbukhuzib Chetodav et Sapur Masabrina, especially Chassidus, finding God, using food, to find God, that's only in jest, though. I think if the bottom line of the parak, what's the bottom line? Mi chacham v'shmoel v'gbanu chasvei Hashem. To meet bonen v'chasvei Hashem, you need perspective. You need to step back and look. And that's what holidays are for. What's Shabbat about? Shabbat, we stop not just work, we stop all creativity to remember that there's a creator, and we were created, and God gave us creativity, but what are we supposed to do with our creativity? It's like taking a step back and not being creative for a day. I have the ability to mitbonen, to take a little perspective, introspect on what's going on. To take back. Same holiday. Why holiday freedom? Why did God give me freedom? I'm not just thinking for the freedom, but for why He gave me the freedom. Not the fact that He gave me Torah, but why He gave me the Torah. Why you gave me my produce, etc. And if Shabbat is a time for sure for reflection, then that's what the Tzarek is all about. To be able to see the hand of God in your day-to-day life, in your busy schedule and day-to-day life, when you're working, you don't have time and patience to sit back and look at it. You need to take that step back and evaluate. I think that's one of the main reasons for Shabbat.
The notion of Shabbos is a snapshot of
Moshiach. Uh-huh.
Some of it's reflected.
Oh, yeah, for sure. On that side, for sure, as well.
I think that's the answer to that.
Understand, Shabbat is a mini main olam haba.
Yeah.
But again, that's more on the that thing. Again, it's again the Chavetz Chaim's model of Mashiach or Ramidah's model of Mashiach. Yeah.
This was a prelude.
Yeah. 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 Afterwards, we have all the. And the most Hallelujah is going to follow afterwards. Most of the fifth book is mostly Hallel. Okay, I have to finish now because it's I got the point. My main goal was that you appreciate what we're saying to them. I think you have an example of not just saying to them, but when you understand to them, hopefully it'll be much more meaningful.
Absolutely.
On this journey on the most.
That's totally
different.
Okay.
I gotta turn this off.